This week's episode of The Unwind is brought to you by Green Man Gaming. You can get 20% off the latest games by going to thecommentist.com and clicking on the banner.
They use Netscape?
No, they didn't.
What up, nerds? Welcome to episode 84 of The Unwind, a weekly show where we talk about tech, games, gadgets, and geek culture. My name is Rob Steller.
I am Polka Trainer Sean.
Team Mystic, baby. Man,
what?
What?
I'm Josiah Hills.
Polka Master, Josiah yeah. Hills.
I don't know why I said Polka Trainer. I guess I'm still a junior.
We got our new format that we're still trying out here, so we are going to jump into a few... quick
Pokemon Go the whole time. That's our new format. No. We're a Pokemon Go show now exclusively.
Thank you, Sean. So we're going to jump into a quick few news items that we have here. Game that has been on a lot of people's radars for what, like 3 or 4 years when they debuted at E3?
Pokemon Go?
Yeah. No Man's Sky finally went gold. So they are making that huge procedurally generated exploratory game where you go around to different planets and find creatures and things.
Like Pokemon?
Yes, like Pokemon.
They have Pokemon on the planets?
Yes.
Imagine if you could play Pokemon Go in No Man's Sky, like you go from planet to planet.
That's the next.
Well, I guess, honestly though, it sounds silly, but don't you capture creatures or
no,
something?
You don't capture them. I think you log them.
Oh,
this is this is humane. This is PETA-friendly game. Like Pokemon.
Maybe this is why Pokemon Go came out now. They wanted to get ahead so that they went out all those people who want to capture the Pokemon.
Yeah. It's possible.
Game, I'm thinking crossover, man.
You guys thinking about picking it up?
Maybe in 6 months when I build my PC.
Yeah.
I'm still anti-pre-order because I just don't see any reason why you would pre-order something that's digital. So I'm going to wait for reviews and stuff. I'm excited about it. As silly as it sounds, I like the developers. They seem like genuine, but it's still a game that could totally go either way. I was saying to you guys earlier, I almost feel bad for Sean Murray and his team because there is so much hype. Like, I almost feel like this is probably the most hyped indie game of all time. I'm willing to bet when they initially talked about it, they had maybe a smaller scope or it would have been a smaller game. And then it came into the hype machine, and then Sony, I think, is a part of it now, and they probably increased the scope because now people don't expect an indie game in that way.
So we'll see reviews. I think it comes out in like 3 weeks or so. So
what's the price? Yeah. Is it $60 or $$30?
$60, I believe.
So $10 a gigabyte.
It's not an indie game anymore.
It really isn't.
They're big boys.
We also have NVIDIA had announced, I think like a week ago, and then they're releasing on July 19th
Their turnaround.
GTX 1060 in response to the RX 480, the more budget graphics card. It's going to be $250. Supposedly, it's, I think, what did they say, like 15% better than the RX 480?
I haven't heard that stat specifically. I heard it's supposed to be better than
marketing.
The 980.
We'll see about that. So the 980 is still better than the RX 480 in the benchmarks that have come out. So we'll see.
But that's what NVIDIA is saying.
That's what
NVIDIA is
saying.
It's going to be better than their own card, the 980.
Yeah, so we'll see when it actually comes out. But $250 is pretty attractive.
Say it is not even 15%. Let's just say 10% better.
If it was the same, I would still get the NVIDIA card.
Why?
I think they have better support. Yeah. A lot more games are optimizing for NVIDIA.
Yeah.
So it's just, I think it still makes more
sense. Yeah, so last show, Sean and I were both saying we'd probably get the 480, the RX 480. But with this announcement, I'm rethinking it because of what Rob just said. I think there's better support typically for NVIDIA cards, and the cost differential is not that much. And
This sounds dumb. I think we'd probably all agree it would be good for NVIDIA to have a competitor. However, at the same time, my thinking.
This is like the nail in the coffin, I think.
Well, yeah. They're definitely not dead. I mean, they're in every single Xbox and PlayStation.
True,
So they still have, they have other markets to go into. The stupidity, though, the whole reason why a company would leave a market is because they're not producing the products. And I guess, I mean, the only reason why at this point, and people have said this before, that they almost want And they want AMD to be there just so they don't have to pay as much for their NVIDIA cards that they want to buy.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things where it would probably be a stupid buy for me because, yeah, if driver support is shitty like a lot of people feel, what's the point of wasting the money in hopes of possibly supporting a company like that? And it, and the thing is, this is not their first miss. They really haven't been at the top of their game probably since they were ATI. I don't know. Yeah. Like, they've had decent cards, but I don't think they've been nearly as good. But what I'm thinking is four-way 480 crossfire for the price of a 1080, right?
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to have one card for each of my characters and some four-player RPG. That's what it is. One GPU per.
Nice.
So just as a follow-up to what I was talking about last week. So
as long as they all have like the hair work. Oh, no, that's NVIDIA. Sorry.
No, they have something. They all have some stupid license thing that like NVIDIA had PhysX, I think. I think that was theirs. But it's not like there's like no hair physics in other games. But anyway, as a follow-up to last week. So last week, my topic was talking about YouTubers and how they'd been paid for certain their essentially endorsements. They promoted a product, but the big thing was on their YouTube site, on their YouTube channels, they didn't explicitly state that they were being paid by companies to do these promotional materials and how that plays into the ethics. There is kind of a follow-up, another FTC, I don't know if this lawsuit had been ongoing, but I feel like the news came out recently that the FTC came down on Warner Brothers because apparently they had paid, I don't know, like 10 or 20 YouTubers to promote Shadow of Mordor. And the key thing, the same thing with the Microsoft doing the Xbox promotion is it's not a review. It's more, it's not like we're giving you an early copy. It's you have to say positive things about this game. You have to edit out any bugs that you see. Kind of, it has to be an ad without a doubt. It is an ad. And so a few YouTubers are in that, including PewDiePie. His name was plastered and he actually got really pissed about this. His name was plastered over these articles because he is the biggest YouTuber amongst the bunch. But I mean, it just goes into more of the same thing and you're just seeing more of this come out. I'm not exactly sure why it all happens to be coming out right now or maybe.
Why was he pissed?
So a lot of the articles said they're YouTubers like PewDiePie. Like a bunch of the articles only listed PewDiePie's name. Clearly because he's the only... I don't know who the other YouTubers are, but the chance of people recognizing PewDiePie amongst the other... I mean, obviously, he is the biggest YouTuber.
Yeah, so he could be mad that they didn't name anybody else, but nobody else is going to be noticed, right? Like, it's not going to get...
Presumably, I don't know who
so
the other ones
So did
were.
He break the law? Did he get paid to do this and did he break the law, which is that he's supposed to disclose this? If so, then fuck him. I don't care if he's mad or not.
And well, so the interesting thing, it gets into the
It doesn't matter if you're popular and you get caught. He got caught.
So he deal with it. Well, these are the interesting layers of this. So first
if he
off,
didn't get caught, then, you know, then he can be mad and sue for libel.
So he had a response video. First off, a couple of news outlets. I read that it was The Verge and Polygon, which is funny because they're sister sites, but they didn't list anyone else. But he didn't give a comment to them, but he just ended up doing a response video. And in his video, which I thought was hilarious, he goes, "I don't need them. I have my audience. I'll talk to them," kind of thing. But he had said that on his video, he did put this post was sponsored by Warner Brother. I don't know why he forgot the S. But the thing was, and this gets into the nitty gritty. And by the way, the FTC is coming down on Warner Brothers, not the YouTuber. So that's why I don't think he's in any legal hot water right now, as far as I know. But the problem, in addition, was he put that, but it was below the fold, which is basically on the YouTube video, there's the video, below that there's a description, and if you click more, it'll show you the rest of the description.
Yeah.
And he put it, quote, below the fold. And he said now he's going to... So, and he didn't say anything in the video. So clearly, it was kind of... He's trying to... you know, save his ass, like make sure he's okay. He's trying to, but he's clearly doing as little as possible to disclose it. I don't know.
Do we even have a timestamp on when he put that in there?
Does
he have a screenshot of when he put that in there? Because that's editable.
No, I know that. So I haven't done this, but apparently with the CSGO people, there was somebody else who did using a Wayback Machine, which always has cache stuff.
Yeah.
They showed that, like, clearly the CSGO guy had edited in that later. I don't know about PewDiePie. I assume he's not dumb enough to think that people couldn't do that, particularly after the CSGO stuff. He actually made a ton of jokes about them, too, in other things. Like, I saw one of his videos, and he made that joke. But I don't know. So I definitely don't know if he edited it later, but I would assume after all this shit, he would be smarter than that. Either way, it goes more into the fact that clearly this shit is happening, and you expect it, but it... I don't know. It's part of the problem with democratizing media like this is you get a lot more independent voices, which is great. But then you also see the downside of independent media is that you don't have these firewalls where most good media companies have sales in one department and editorial in another department, and they don't cross paths. Whereas this, I mean, if you're a fledgling YouTuber, if your only stream of money is advertising revenue, like that T. Martin guy got paid $45,000 to promote the Xbox. Wow. Like, that's a solid amount of money. I don't think he had to do that much. It's not like he spent his whole year doing that. He just had to promote just because he had a big following. So when you're a YouTuber, when you're offered that kind of money, it's just going to happen. And it's a little worrying. So and actually another thing, I don't want to get into this much, but apparently Valve came out and now they've banned CSGO skin betting companies. I don't exactly know how it's going to work. To be totally honest, I don't even totally understand the skin betting economy. I guess you can win skins and then they're sold on a different market, and because you're like selling skins for skins, so technically it's not gambling when you're on the betting sites, and then later you can sell the skin for money.
Yep.
But it's all this ridiculous stuff. A lot of this is coming out all at once, but we'll see how this unravels, and we'll keep you updated.
There's a great Reading Rainbow episode where LeVar Burton goes to a colonial town and he learns about bartering. So go watch that, and then you'll understand the
different kind of skins.
CS skins. Economy.
And then he goes on to the Enterprise and flies away.
All right. So before we move on to our main topic, let's do a quick change up, which is brought to you by Green Man Gaming. You can get 20% off the latest games by going to the Commentist website and clicking on the banner. So the change up, Josiah asked me this earlier today. If you could have a Pokemon in real life, what would you choose?
Oh, man.
My choice was Ditto.
Oh, because that's
I went there.
But this is,
I play as Odd Job.
But this is going to be you have the only Pokemon in the world.
That's not what you said.
So actually, just a real Pokemon question. Does Ditto have to see the Pokemon to be able to copy it?
I'm pretty
sure. Okay, so if you only see Pidgeys, which is all we find.
Pidgeys and Rattatas. I am the Raticate King. I've decided to only play for Rattatas now, and I'm only going to catch those.
Isn't there an actual Pokemon trainer in the first game only has Rattatas?
Like the early gyms, they only have like one kind. Yeah.
Or no, but it was almost like a joke trainer where he just had all Rattatas. Yeah. Listeners, if you're out there,
I'm gonna probably end up playing Red again.
Oh really?
Probably. It's gotta happen. I don't know when with all my
Pokemon and I'll tell you, I'll start playing and then you'll stop playing. Yeah. I'm still
bitter about
Frosty.
That.
Frosty.
All right. Who's your choice?
I don't know. I'm thinking, I mean, and let's not use the legendaries, like the one that created the universe. Like, okay, let's, assuming it's none of that shit.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's got to be a flying Pokemon because you got to be able to fly places, right? I don't know. Charizard, I guess. Although, honestly, in the show, like, Charizard stopped listening to Ash or something.
Yeah, Charizard's an asshole.
Yeah, so I guess, I don't know.
Yeah,
this
but you're
is
better
tough.
Than Ash. Come
you
got to
be careful what you ask for.
If I have Jigglypuff, I could be a J-pop king because it's got a little microphone.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sure, you'd be a big hit in Korea and Japan, man.
Magikarp, if I ever needed water, you could just splash me. Man, this is tough.
So, you have an answer?
I do.
Go ahead.
Pokemon. I mean, Pikachu.
I pick all of the Pokemon.
Pikachu. Gotta have Pikachu.
No. Oh, my gosh.
Recharge my phone. Fuck y'all.
So you can keep playing Pokemon.
I have a Magnemite, and I just... Or what is it? Is that what it's called?
Magnetite? Wow, we're really sounding bad. Somebody told me that we should stop talking about Pokemon because we don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, Magnemite. I was right. So I'll just like...
I don't know. Somebody cool.
Create an outlet
flying.
On him.
Maybe a Pidgeot. I don't know. That's
a Pidgeot?
Lame. I don't know. You know what? Actually, no. Alakazam. Because Alakazam's
there
pretty cool.
There you go. Yeah.
Or maybe
yeah.
Gengar. I'm not good at choosing. Why'd you ask me this question? What's going on?
All right. Tentacool. Settled. Moving on.
Lapras.
So yeah, let's talk about this Pokemon Go game that I've heard so much about.
Oh my god!
I don't think you can exist being, unless you like seriously don't go on the internet or leave your house.
I think there's a decent part of the world that doesn't know about Pokemon Go.
Well, in the U.S., I don't know, man.
I was just making a joke.
Everyone knows about it.
So let's go through it by in some kind of organized fashion, right? So we'll definitely talk about the impact socially. News-wise, how it's crossed over into the mainstream. Definitely want to hit on that. But let's just start at the beginning and talk about it is a game. So how do we play this game? What's some strategy? How does it work? What are the game mechanics?
So basically what you do is you load it up, the game freezes, then you have to close the game manually.
Then you sign in with Google, and it takes all your passwords.
Server manager.
Yeah, it basically is.
Simulation.
So yeah, basically, if you've ever played Ingress, it has a lot of similarities because it's made by the same company. But basically, you have on your phone, which obviously has GPS, you go around the world and you will see Pokemon. It's an AR game, although I actually think the usage of AR is kind of poor. But you basically go around the world and you will find Pokemon around the map as you walk and you try to catch them. And there's more intricacies than that. I mean, we can get into gyms and different things like that, but that's the basics. And it really does require that you walk around. Like, if you just stay in your house, you're probably going to catch maybe 5, something like that. You're not going to catch very many. But you really have to go around in places. Oh, and I should also mention there are places called Pokestops, where, and they're physical places. They're usually landmarks.
Tied to landmarks, churches, things like that.
Yeah, and or statues. And this goes into Niantic having this geographic data and working with Google Maps. But basically, you go to a Pokestop in order to refill certain items that you need, like Pokeballs. And this is really important because these are all different incentives to make you move to places. Or, as we've seen, stay in places, because some people just stay at the Pokestop. And but like, yeah, the main crux of the game is basically just walking around, finding Pokemon in your world and catching them.
Yeah, so when you walk around, you get this this buzz or chime, depending on if you have the noise turned on your phone. So you get a little chime around these Pokestops, you get these items, and you get XP for that. And when you capture new Pokemon go into the Pokédex, and you get a bonus to XP. And if you recapture Pokemon you already own, you get less XP. I think it's 100 for capturing something and a 500 bonus for putting something new into your Pokédex. So as you get more XP, you level up. And as you level up, it seems like on average you will get higher level Pokemon that you capture. So the Pokemon have
that's definitely true.
A CP, combat points, which kind of gives you a quick reference as to how strong they'd be in a battle. And also as you level up, your Pokemon's CP cap will increase. So you can have stronger Pokemon if you choose to level them up. And so there's typically, what, 2 different types of basic in-game currency that you can get for free. So there's the candy for your Poke type. So if you're looking at something like something that can evolve, like, let's say,
a Weedle, because that's all I found.
Yeah, Weedle. Yeah. Yep, so if you take Weedle, and then what's Weedle evolve?
Kakuna,
and then
Beedrill.
So to go from 3 Beedrills. To evolve your Weedle into a Kakuna, you need the Weedle candy. But there's no Kakuna candy, right? It's just Weedle all throughout. Yeah. And so when you have your Kakuna, you still need Weedle candy.
Right.
To
so it incentivizes you to catch the same ones over and over and over, so you could evolve those continually.
Yeah, because if you get something that's duplicate, or even if it's new, but you can trade it in, you can transfer it to the professor, and you'll get typically one is all we've seen so far, one Poke Candy of that type.
I've been pretty disappointed that evolutions don't result in more. Like, I would think a Kakuna would give you 2 Weedle Candy just because you had to evolve. I mean, or probably more because you have to use a significant number of candy to evolve. Yeah.
And you do get a lot of candy when you hatch one from an egg.
Yeah, so let's talk about
the egg.
Like
20
so
to 30.
You acquire these items when you go to the Pokestops. One of the items you can get is an egg, and the eggs are tied to a distance in kilometers. I think we've seen 2, 5, and 10 kilometers.
Yeah, so you have to walk.
So the idea
is using the GPS to measure your distance.
Yep.
And at first I was thinking maybe it's using the pedometer as well.
No.
But it's definitely just the GPS.
Yeah.
But you have to stay under, what,
probably 15 miles per hour?
Yeah, I will say I have driven and it recorded it. Yeah. I don't know what the marker is. I mean, but I've definitely driven faster than I could run. Yeah. So
the idea is you're supposed to run or can't collect it. The idea is you're supposed to run or bike. Like the whole design around the game is supposed to get you out, around, moving around, bike, exploring new areas. You know, it's designed to be a social game.
And, well, so the real question is, do you think it'll work? Do you think people are going to play this game? Are they going to walk around?
Well, it's interesting you say that.
we'll get to that. But, yeah, so when you hatch these eggs, there's, so far, I've seen, what, 2 kilometer, 5 kilometer, and 10 kilometer eggs. 10 kilometer eggs definitely give you pretty powerful Pokemon, at least for, you know, the level that we're all around a level
11, 12.
So, if you hatch a 10-kilometer egg, it gives you a pretty significant boost to your roster there. Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that there are a lot of mechanics about this game that people don't know about. I guess, sorry, I should say higher-level mechanics. No, I don't think anybody knows what level caps are, CB caps, any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Because unlike a traditional video game, I mean, whenever a normal video game comes out, within a week, a good number of people have beaten the game. I mean, I'm
or
sure
the game itself has instructions and tutorials and thing that walk you through the basic concepts of the game.
But I guess so. I don't know. In most games, I assume the way people find out what the level cap, like in The Witcher, is just by hitting the level cap.
Right.
Whereas I don't know, because I feel like this would be a top page on Reddit or a top post on Reddit, but I don't think anyone's hit the cap or anybody knows what it is. And it's also interesting to see. I feel like most people are leveling around the same amount. Like, everybody I meet typically is between 10 and 15 now. I definitely see at gyms where people are 20.
Yeah.
But I do remember when I first started playing, everybody, like the higher ones, were like 8. And most people
it always
were like
seems
5 to 6.
A few more than what I am.
Yeah, exactly. But it's interesting to see, like, we'll talk about the popularity, but it feels like a lot of people are growing at the same time.
Yeah.
And we're learning the game at the same time, too.
Yeah, and I think that's by design. That's a social element, right? So we'll talk a little bit about, in a second, what's missing. And I think we're already broadcasting that some of the social elements might be missing, but there seem to be, like, real IRL social elements in the fact that you're getting outside the house, you're walking because of these Pokestops are in public places, you're standing next to people and saying, hey, you catching something? What you got? What's your level? We've had several, Rob and I have had several conversations like that, just walking.
Which are our Poke walks at lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. It's weird. It's extremely common to have. It's like it's that icebreaker that you need. That it's already there. I'm surprised how many people will just randomly come up to you and just ask you about it because they see. And it's very easy to tell a Pokemon Go player because if you're texting, you probably have both hands on your thing. If you're Pokemon going, you probably maybe you're holding it and you're using your other finger to swipe.
Like,
there's a weird way you can tell. And also, if you know they're all walking in one direction.
I use my tongue with the screen. It's fun.
But yeah, I'm surprised how many people actually talk to me. But
so we talked about how
no one ever talks to you.
No.
Talked about how it's worked. What do we like about it so far? I mean, obviously there's the charm of being in the Poke world.
Yeah, I mean, seeing these things. Pretty all the people like in our age range who grew up playing, you know, Red and Blue and Yellow and some of the other later games on Game Boy, like we all dreamed about being in a world where you could actually see them and catch them and like have them.
I think kids today feel the same life. Way.
Yeah. But I mean, like, that's the appeal of it, right? Is that it's like you're seeing people in their 30s and 40s playing this game.
Yeah.
So I would say I'm 36 and I'm probably at the upper range of people who would play and have nostalgia to when they were kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was about 14 or 15 when it really hit stateside and the card game came out and the cartoons and everything. But no,
you're a little bit older, I think, because I think we were in middle school or so.
Came out in 95 or 98. It was one of those. So, I mean,
11.
Yeah.
If it was maybe. 98.
Yeah.
10 or 11.
Yeah. So probably 15, 16, 17 around there sometime. So definitely, I'm probably at the upper limit for people who were involved with it
as
kids. The main reason I was involved with it as a kid was I worked at a cards and comics store, and I sold this stuff.
Right.
And so I needed to know, you know, I mean, I enjoyed it. I'm a nerd. I'm not discounting my nerd cred. But, you know, a lot of my friends that age were not exposed to it. And then people older than me that are into it are probably into it because they had kids or younger, a much younger cousin or something like that, or nephew or aunt, nephew or niece. So, so what else do you guys like about it? Catching these Pokemon, the charm of it?
Some very basics I think they do a good job with. I think it's weird. It kind of looks like a decent game. Like the graphics, I mean, it's made in Unity, so I think they're fine. I one little touch I like is that all the when you attack a Pokemon, the sound effects they use are the Game Boy effects, which are, I don't know how to put it. I guess chiptune-y, they're kind of crappy. They could have redone all of them to make them sound more realistic, but I like that they use that.
Yeah, like a real Pokeball.
Yeah, I don't know what they were recording. But I like that they did that. I don't know. I guess we'll get into this, but there are a lot of elements that feel surprisingly generic, but I guess it goes back into, I mean, the most basic reason why I like it is because it's freaking Pokemon.
Right. Yeah. So the IP is a huge, huge appeal, because you said before, Sean, that it's effectively very, very similar to Ingress, which was the other game that Niantic is well known for.
I'm pretty sure there are Ingress fans that are super pissed, where they're like, oh yeah, now you guys like our game.
No, they're pretty much the same people playing. But the other thing that I like, you kind of already hit on it, Sean, is that there's pretty decent progression, right? It's been pretty steady since it came out.
Yeah.
There are pitfalls to progressing that we'll talk about shortly, but for the most part, it's pretty steady progression.
In it
you feel
is,
like
is
you're,
pretty
you're
good,
going
yeah.
someplace. Yeah. And even though I'm walking in some of the same areas day after day, I still typically get one or two new Pokemon to add to my Pokedex.
Yeah, and you know, server issues aside, because I guess server issues aren't...
Wait, they're having server issues?
Like, those aren't necessarily bugs, per se. I mean, I don't know how you want to classify that, but, like, let's put those aside. Even though, and we'll talk about, there are a lot of features I want them to add, I think I would still have a lot of fun, even if... I mean, clearly I am having fun with the server issues out. It's honestly, in many ways, and this is why I've found it funny that video game publications were reviewing the game, it's a kind of crappy game, in a number of ways, but it's still a really fun game, and I think that's one thing a lot of people said, and for these reasons that we're saying, but...
Well, I'll say it this way. I don't think it's super innovative. It's not pushing the limit. Like we said, it's basically a skin of Niantic's Ingress game, and there have been other kind of geocaching. You could say Ingress was a digital version of geocaching, which has been around for many years before smartphones even existed, right? So this is and that's been the case when I've talked to older people who are a little bit older than me, but they have young children. I tell them, oh, it's just geocaching, and they were like, you know, in the 90s, they were in their teens and 20s, and they were into that, like, hippie shit. So the concepts are not terribly new or innovative. So I'll say that.
Well, one innovative thing, sorry, I just want to say, just interject, I just thought about this. This is probably the only single-player game that's multiplayer. I don't know where to classify it, but it is truly a single-player. Well, that's a lie.
Outside
that's
completely
a lie, because it's gyms. But it's weirdly single-player.
But
you're never
interacting with people in the game. Right, except for the gyms, which is basically not even asynchronous. Like, it's just
it's an AI avatar of somebody else's.
Yeah, right.
So technically, but it's very truly multiplayer. But sorry,
So I think we've said enough. Let's go ahead and slide into what's broken. So the big the servers. I drop connections.
There's
like, literally, I do one thing in the game. Like I access a Pokestop. I catch a Pokemon. I do one thing, and then I drop connection and I have to restart.
So there were issues connecting to the server initially that I feel have been getting better. Like, it's been a couple days since I haven't been able to connect while trying to connect to the game the first time. That said, it seems like iOS, just based off of me having Android and Josiah having iOS, seems to have a lot more issues than Android does.
I have a lot more than Rob, that's for sure.
Yeah, so
sort of make sense, because for those who don't know, Niantic used to be owned by Google, and then they spun it off, or they sold it, and now they're an independent company, so maybe, I would assume they have a lot of experience with Android,
maybe.
It still seems a little odd, because I feel like so much of the issues are server-side. Like, I don't know how buggy the app is versus just overload.
Yeah. So other things that are broken, I mean, that's that's the big one, and so much of it stems from that, because we talked about progression, but so I hinted at one of the speed bumps to progression is that you can't always play.
Right.
And so if I'm walking trying to hatch a Pokemon egg, like, you know, I know this loop that I walk at home is like 2.5 miles.
Right. But you may only come back like with, a half
with,
a mile or
with
something.
With 1 kilometer, which is half a mile.
Yeah. So I probably walked 60 miles. They even have handoff issues, which just sounds silly, but this became a big deal for me. So what will happen is I definitely all the time have Pokemon right out of my place, outside of my place. But usually I can't catch them inside, so you got to go outside. What always happens, like right across the street from me is where they are. You go there, and basically it sees the Pokemon while I'm still on the fringes of my Wi-Fi signal.
Yeah.
And then it has to switch over to LTE, which would be fine normally, but it doesn't work that handoff properly, and it always messes up.
Yeah, so I think, and again, this is kind of like the server issues, but I've been trying to figure it out, and Rob and I have been talking about it, but I feel like it's the way they authenticate your account, right? Because they're requiring like pretty low latency is my feeling, because even though I'll still have server issues when I'm on Wi-Fi, they are typically much better than when I'm on LTE. And I'll have LTE 4 or even 5 bars, and it'll be a pretty abysmal experience. It's still not as good as when I'm on Wi-Fi. Not to say that Wi-Fi is perfect. So just saying that Wi-Fi isn't perfect, I know that there are legitimate server issues, but it seems to be something related to how they authenticate your account. They're doing it regularly with some kind of, you know, to make sure that you're not cheating, kind of like Diablo pinging back to the server, that type of thing. But if you drop connection during that kind of authentication, it will hang up on the game and basically freeze you. It has a very hard time, like you said, picking back up the connection once it seems to skip a beat.
And it's interesting how it definitely registers some of what you've done. It's usually impossible to figure out what it's registered. Like, there are times, I'm sure you've had, where you go to catch a Pokemon and it freezes, and you can tell it's frozen because the Pokeball needs to roll in order for you to know that it's trying to catch it. But a lot of times, you'll come back to the game after you've reopened it, and it's there.
Yeah, I will say it's been the majority of the times. Like, it's literally only happened to me, I think, 5 times, where I've caught something, it froze, I restarted the game, and it didn't add it to my roster.
Oh, okay.
So if not for that, I probably would have stopped playing by Friday or Saturday.
Yeah.
Game came out last Thursday, so a week now. And so I probably would have stopped playing and just said, I'll come back in a month.
So just out of curiosity, I looked up how much data it was actually using, because that was the other big question.
Yeah.
Because you're almost never on Wi-Fi because you're out walking around.
Yeah.
So since it's come out, so it's a week now, I've only used 80 megs.
Yeah,
and that's like, you know, hours and hours and hours playing this game, walking around. So that's pretty impressive.
I feel like the packets that it's sending aren't huge, but it needs to have low latency. That's my suspicion, is that it's a latency issue. And even though you can get really fast speeds on LTE, notoriously their latency is not as good as a Wi-Fi network.
And I will say just a quick thing, just because it actually happened. I actually even bought something because I ran out of Pokeballs, so I spent $1
to get it. Oh, he started! Yeah.
So I did that, but I had the same issue. It basically timed out. And it timed out, and I was really worried. I mean, it was only $1, so I guess at the end of the day, I'll survive, but it was just the idea. Luckily, they both ended up going through, but basically, I bought it, it froze, I opened it, I had the coins, I spent the coins, it froze, I reopened it, and then it was there. But even between the freezes, like, I was
really
worried.
Can I ask you something? Is this the first microtransaction you've ever spent money on?
Ooh, microtransaction. Maybe.
So I don't know if we mentioned that. So there are microtransactions. It's not really pay to win, because you're buying items like Pokeballs, potions, things that don't directly impact how strong your Pokemon are or how fast, well, how you
level
up.
I mean, you can buy lures.
Sure.
And you can buy incense. But yeah, you're right. It's not a direct, level my character.
Which I'm very happy with, that it's not just like, oh, you can buy this exotic Pokemon for $50. So it's nothing like that. So I'm pretty happy about that. But yeah, is that your first microtransaction?
It might be, not including like upgrading to a trial, but I don't feel like that counts as a microtransaction.
No.
It probably is.
You didn't buy that horse armor?
No. I honestly, I think it's totally worth it. This game is, I weirdly. Like, you know, I want to support them because I think what they're doing is cool. And honestly, even though Nintendo and Pokemon are to some level behind it, Niantic is the main company doing all this. Yeah. They're a small company. They're not really a big operation.
Yeah. It's funny. Rob was telling me you bought the Pokeballs.
Yeah.
Or you ran out of Pokeballs. And I was shocked because I live in downtown, in this downtown area, and there's a ton of historic areas, and per capita, I think it I'm not even joking, I think per capita it has the most churches for a city of its in its size range.
Yeah, so you're just hitting stops.
So yeah, there's stops. Like I walk this block, like the larger block, it's maybe a mile, and there's probably 12 Pokestops on it. So literally, Rob saw me do this today. I hit the 350 item limit for my backpack, I deleted, destroyed 100 Pokeballs.
I could have used those.
I still had over 100 Pokeballs. I just got rid of 100.
My problem is there are Pokestops, but they're somewhat far away. And the other thing was, I spent a couple days not going out and getting Pokemon, but I was still trying to catch them from my apartment. Wasting Pokeballs on these guys and not going back to the things. Yeah.
So pretty interesting. So kind of, I mean, the big, big broken thing is the server issues and the connectivity. So this is kind of, maybe you could argue it's a broken thing, but let's talk about, like, what do we think is missing and what's needed? So what really needs to be added to make this
continue? What's interesting is it's building off of the Pokemon games, right? And so there were a few key things in the games that people expect, really, because it just is Pokemon, right? And number one is trading. So people expect you to be able to trade Pokemon between players. And number two is directly PvP battling one-on-one against someone else.
Oh, just FYI, there's a drowsy right behind Rob.
What?
Oh, man. Well, I'm sorry.
I agree with what you said, and I think that... Yes.
So yeah, trading while these guys are catching the distraction that I just gave them.
Because we can't put this game down even for an hour to do this.
Not
podcast.
That I need a drowsy anyway, but so I guess ridiculous. I need everything.
Way to go, Sean.
I was just trying to make sure the viewer knew.
Rookie over here. So definitely, and my game just froze because I caught the drowsy. But definitely trading is a big staple to Pokemon. And I'm pretty sure they're going to add it. I think I saw an article go as far as to say that it's already coded in the game. Like somebody went through the code and it just hasn't been turned on yet. So we'll see how they do that. If it's like a one-to-one, or if you agree, I agree, then it's done. Or if they're going to actually apply some known value.
Many Pidgeys to give you.
Right, because I mean, you know, it's the same thing with the cards, right? I told you I worked at a card store, a comics and card store, and you know, we'd sell to these kids and they were like 10 years old and stuff like that. But you also had some, you know, 20-year-old guys coming in playing as well. And you did not want those kids being taken advantage of.
Right.
Was, you know,
you're going to have people get mugged like in the street for Pokemon.
Yeah,
now.
I'll give you this holographic Pikachu for your Charizard. It's not holographic, right? So you should give it to me. And you know, and then you get angry moms. So you know, I'm curious to see if they put some kind of preset value on the Pokemon and say they need to be near equal value or something like that.
Do you think there's going to be location based where you have to be near the person?
Oh yeah, I would think so.
The other fear I would have, I mean, I just talked about the whole CS:GO and skins and stuff. There could totally be a market for Pokemon easily, and that could get really bad for a lot of those reasons. I mean, if these CS:GO skins are worth thousands of dollars, I can't imagine what these Pokemon would be worth. So I'm sure I hope they're going to think about this a lot before they. And it could cause problems. I mean, the reason why Diablo 3 or Blizzard got rid of the auction system in Diablo 3 was because it made it less fun to get loot drops because you could just buy everything.
Yeah.
So if it becomes a pay to win or trade to win kind of thing, it could become problematic.
But I will say that I think, you know, we're still early stages and I could foresee that the grinding gets really, really rough, especially if you only got a Pokemon through an egg because it's not available in this area. Like you got the Ponyta.
Yeah.
And when are you going to find another Ponyta to get to Rapidash? It's just probably not going to happen. And so, you know, if you could trade to people, that would, that I see, like, that's a necessary mechanic. Not that it's just traditional in Pokemon, but it's going to be necessary if you can't travel to the beach, if you can't travel to the mountains.
Well, one other thing related to grinding is, I don't know, is there any game mechanic where the experience scales? Like, in most video games, as you get higher level, you meet enemies that are more difficult to kill, but they give you more experience. So it, it's scaling. I'm pretty sure evolutions and catching Pokemon, it's still consistent. But obviously, the XP required to get to the next level is going to be higher.
That's a good point.
So how are they going to scale that? Or what's maybe, I don't know, more battles?
Yeah, and how are they going to manage the gyms, right? Because we all started at about the same time. I've probably seen people as far as maybe 5-6 levels above me. So I'm level 11. I've seen 16 and 17 out in the wild.
I saw 21, I think, yesterday. Yeah, that's the highest I've seen.
But even still, that's, you know, that's understandable. But like, if for whatever reason I didn't have a phone until my birthday, which is next April, and my mom gets me a phone and I'm super excited to play Pokemon Go and it's been out for 8 months, like, How am I ever going to get caught up? So I got to imagine they need to add some kind of matchmaking system. And a lot of games, Marvel Puzzle Quest included, have these types of matchmaking scenarios to manage the PvP. So
they could also go the division route and basically have it cordoned off. Like in the division, if you go into the dark zone and you're level 30, you can only play with players who are at that level. So it's literally a different area where you cannot see every 10
people. Levels or something like that.
They could. And one other thing is, I've never seen a gym last for more than, I don't know, maybe an hour or something. Hours, it doesn't even matter if it's 1 a.m. It just goes away. And this is completely anecdotal, but somebody said even in Ingress, nobody controls any points. Like it always goes away, and which is weird to think because Ingress is so much smaller,
but still to like be able to drop, you know, a 2000 CP Pokemon on there. I mean, Rob and I saw, what was the one you saw, like 1300?
So there's a level there's a level 6 gym down here now, the one we visited yesterday.
It's a level 6
and the highest is like 1300-1400. There's a couple over 1000 in there, like
and they were all different type too, so it's like, you know, you have to have a very diverse group of Pokemon to go through that, and one person probably would have a very hard time defeating all of those.
But you know what you could do? So this is another like problem with the game. So when you face a gym, you can use all 6 Pokemon, and you have to face all the Pokemon at that gym. But what you could potentially do is, say your 6 are only good enough, this will take a while, but say your 6 are only good enough to beat the first Pokemon.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure it works that the first Pokemon is always the lowest CP. I think they do it in order.
You're right. You can do it if you want to spend the potions and the revive. You can whittle it
down.
Or
if you have multiple people.
You can, provided that you have stuff that can last at least one Poke battle. Right?
Yes.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, Rob and I were playing, I watched him play, and the first battle he tried, like, he was getting one-shotted. Every single, all 6 of his rosters, they were one-shot and dead.
Wow.
So, you know.
I mean, eventually you're going to have lower-level Pokemon in that gym, and, like, once you hit level 5, you should be able to do 6-on-1, at least.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Fight, I definitely understand your point, Josiah. It's weird, though, because right now the problem I see, although building for the future, the problem I see right now is the exact opposite, that it's too easy to take over a gym because through brute force, people will just keep playing and other people will come. I don't know. I kind of like the idea that there's no point in saying that you control a gym if it gets taken over so quickly.
Yeah.
And like I control a gym at 11 at night during a weekday, and my guy is already dead and within like a half an hour, and I'm just thinking, and like, you know, you have to physically go to that place. I'm just surprised how quickly. Granted, I didn't have good Pokemon, but even other, I've never seen one that I've watched last for that long, and it's just, I don't know. I think it'd be somewhat cool maybe if some point where it's like, this is Blue's gym, like you got to work really hard to beat this because it's been Blue's gym and for like 2 weeks.
That brings up some strategy. We didn't really talk about the gym mechanic when we were talking about the gameplay, but when you take these gyms, you can leave a Pokemon there, or if you train at a gym that your team owns and get it a high enough level, then you can add one of your Pokemon there to defend.
Yeah.
And so the mechanic is you can cash out your defenders for Pokecoins. And it's not how many times they successfully defended. It's literally just how many defenders do you have at a gym concurrently. My strategy is I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I do this before Pokemon Go existed. So wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. By 4:15, I'm out walking the block. And that block I have, if I go one way, the short route is actually I've got 3 gyms that I could walk within 15 minutes. And so I'll do that. I go to those gyms, and now that the server is starting to get a little better a week out, I can actually battle those gyms. Because previously what was happening was I was attacking, and the servers were out of sync, and so I basically would get the opponent down to 1 hit point, and then it just wouldn't kill him, and
that it would was kill such all of my problem.
My guys. And at that point, I almost ran out of potions. You were running out of Pokeballs. Yeah. I was running out of potions. But, so I make the rounds, and provided, you know, if they're battles I can win, I go try to get at least those 3 gems and then cash them out immediately. And you want to do it at the same time, because when you cash them out, there's a 20-hour timer.
Yeah.
So you need to try to get as many defenders seated as possible at the same time, roughly the same time every day, and cash them out immediately. It's almost like the weakest link, where you bank questions and then you cash them out. So you don't really want to sit on those all day. There's no benefit to it.
And why? I wonder why it's... I'm pretty sure it's 21 hours. Why wouldn't it be 24?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm like, okay with the grace period. It gives you a little bit of wiggle room. It's kind of nice.
Actually. Yeah, I just... it just seemed... Yeah, I guess. That makes a lot of sense. And yeah, like in a day... Because so if you take over a gym, you cash out... Somebody takes that gym over and you get it back. You don't get another set, right?
You'll get another... you can retake a gym, or you can find another place and add to the... Train there and add your own. And you'll have that defender posted, but you won't be able to cash it out for another 21 hours.
Okay. So there's no point in like sitting with your friend and just trading gyms essentially back and forth.
Well, I mean, you can kind of roam with several people, and you'll have better chances of conquering a gym or training at a gym to get it to level 6 or 7, and then put in. And you can only have one Pokemon at a gym defending. So like it might be a level 5 gym, but I can only add one of my characters.
Yeah.
And I took a gym this morning. I battled myself, got it up to level 2, and I couldn't add another Pokemon there.
Well, so what we really need to happen is for them to transfer it to pay to win, so we could be a Poke gang, because all the other kids don't have jobs yet, so we can afford to spend like $5, and then we're just going to be the guys just going around and just smacking up all the gyms.
You'll start seeing, red and blue gang members, but they will be Pokemon red and blue and not and yellow Crips and Bloods.
It's not Crips and Bloods or Latin.
Yeah. You do Mystic with your fingers.
Yeah, it's Team Mystic, it's Team Valor, and Team Intuition.
I do, before we sign off this, I do want to just point out a few stats that have come out that are really just staggering, considering it's been a week, and these stats are already old. But I think it was 5 days or so after the app was released, they hit just under 21 million daily active users, which beats Candy Crush's record of 20 million, which is ridiculously significant because it's only out in 3 markets, or Australia, New Zealand, US, and Germany at that time.
At that time, it
might not even been Germany yet.
Yeah, Germany was just earlier this week.
So it's not out in Asia yet, which is probably going to spike that even way higher. Yeah. And it's not out really in Europe yet. So that's insane. I mean, that's already the most popular app.
Yeah.
A game, sorry.
The most popular mobile game ever.
Surpassed Tinder already.
It surpassed Tinder, and it's probably because
these are a couple days old. Yeah,
it was already on track to surpass Twitter,
and it probably did, which is insane.
I mean, it's right now it's just most popular. If you look, you can find that phrase in the dictionary. It just says Pokemon Go after that. Like they actually have pictures online of all the server farms on fire.
So 5 days after it came out, it already made $14 million in revenue, and this is just from the microtransactions we talked about. Jeez. You know, so you're saying like dollar.
That's Sean $5, the whale. I know. His $1 broke the back.
Best value, man. Best value.
but there's a couple other interesting things. So there's a report saying that Niantic's gonna start having sponsored locations. So instead of just historical sites,
companies, and I think McDonald's is the first one that's rumored to go out.
Yeah, I think it's official now.
Yeah,
right?
So McDonald's will have, I think they're rolling out in Asia, in Japan maybe first. I don't think they're doing a full global rollout, but basically you can pay to have your company be a Pokestop or a gym, which encourages people to come
Rob in. And I, we've been walking around downtown Hartford on our lunch break, and you know, a couple of these spots where the gyms are, they're just like
Sweet
barren areas.
Yeah.
Like, and so we're joking, like, we need to put up a lemonade stand right here.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have a food truck or something, park it right in front of a Poke Gym.
I will say it's smart on McDonald's part for obvious reasons, but man, if you're working at McDonald's and you hate your job, you're going to hate it even more in the next couple of weeks because, man, it's just going to get worse and worse. I mean, that's really cool, and it makes a lot of sense, and I guess it's another revenue stream for Niantic or whatever these companies are, so it's smart to do, but it's just, it's interesting how quickly this is picking up steam, and I don't know, if you think about it, having a partnership with McDonald's, like, I'm sure that's not an easy partnership to make considering how big of a company they are. I don't really know, and I assume it's a national program.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Pokemon's been in kids' meals.
I mean, but it's still, it is a sign.
I know
of,
it's a little different.
Like the Snapchat filter, McDonald's has yet to come up. Where you're like the Hamburglar or something.
The Grimace milkshake, yeah.
So the last thing I wanted to talk about was just the social impact that this is having. I mean, clearly,
I
want to
mention one thing after that, sorry.
No.
So it's not going to be the last thing.
Whatever, man. So, I mean, you're seeing this. It's regular news stations are covering this.
Yeah.
You've already seen like crazy stories, like a girl got hit by a car playing the game.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't hear that.
Apparently, I heard two people walked off a cliff, which I'm like, at some point, it's just common sense. Like, you know, you got to look up.
Wait,
at some
did
point.
This really happen?
I think so. The car one definitely
Wasn't
happened.
The Onion?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's been a couple robberies related to it. Like, people have been poaching
that.
On players of the game. But for the most part, though, it's been like overwhelmingly positive. Like, there was a story about this mother of an autistic child who like was not social, didn't want to leave the house, and then like so this got him out of the house. Not only that, but like interacting with people, which he never does.
A lot of people on Imgur had posts, and they show pictures of gyms, and it's like, I don't know these people. I have social anxiety issues, but for some reason, I can talk to them.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's going to be weddings that come from this game. God. Like that's going to happen. People
that's
going to
be like the thing. You
game.
Have to open up the Pokemon Go app to catch like the ring or something. I don't know.
But even like, you know, this one spot that happens to be this little hot spot of three little Pokestops from within one sitting range. Sean and I went up there last night and there was 70 people in a place that normally no one ever goes into. It's just like kind of on the side of the road. So, you know, clearly, and I mean, everyone you come up to who's looking down at their phone, you pretty much assume is playing and look up and it's that icebreaker, right? I mean, like basically you can assume that everyone is playing the game who's looking on their phone and it's just like something to talk about.
And it's like, even if, which I'm sure the hype of this will die down, there's still so many people playing that even if a fraction of these players stick around, you're still looking at a decent user base of people if you want to keep playing. Like, I assume, and it's Pokemon. People still love Pokemon. There are plenty of people who love this game enough that they're not going to quit anytime soon. So it's just crazy to see this. I mean, I don't think it'll stay at that 70 number forever, but if you even see a bunch of people, I don't know.
Not in this country, but when they open global markets, I'm sure it's actually going to continue to grow.
Yeah.
And even if it shrinks a little bit, it still will be bigger. I'm pretty sure it'll be bigger than it is now today. Even if it shrinks, because when you add those other countries, it's just that much bigger.
NASA did say you cannot catch Pokemon in space.
Oh, man.
That's what they would say if they want to keep all the
moon space
Pokemon.
What space Pokemon are there? Mew? Mew, maybe?
Mewtwo. Yeah. Well, we also only know first gen, so there are a lot more Pokemon that we don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There are over 700 at this point. I'm pretty sure it's like
there's only 151.
I also want to just mention somebody made like the meme and or some joke saying, you know, Michelle Obama spent 8 years doing Go 360 Go Play 60, and Pokemon Go did more in, you know, one day as a joke.
I mean, I was just looking at the app. I've walked 10 miles just from this game that I normally would not have walked.
Yeah, it totally. Yeah.
And that's not including probably 2 or 3 miles I got dropped because of server issues.
Like, this is, it's incredible such a different approach, and it totally works. Yeah. Like, you think about how much effort, thought, and planning, and this is not to throw shade on Michelle Obama, but the First Lady, I'm sure she had teams, like they had investment, they had all this thought dollars, behind it. And it's like, and I mean, not that this game was thought yesterday, but it's a fairly simple idea, but this has done and will do, I feel like, more than so many other programs have done. And it's incredible to see. Like, I hope
it's
we can adapt.
It's going
to
be the era of the most fit nerds that the world has ever seen. Yeah.
Maybe you guys should just, we should just add Pokemon to everything. Forget gamification, Pokemonification.
Yeah. Pokecation.
And just like all education, we just add Pokemon to that. Like, just forget learning.
Yeah.
And then all your history will be about Pallet Town and Professor
Oak. Oh, so funny. I told you guys the story, but funny enough, so there's, it hasn't launched in Korea yet. And because of the government restricting Google Maps, it's not available except for this like one town on the coast of northern, I think like northeastern South Korea. And people have been flocking to the town to play the game because it's the only place around you can play, and so they've dubbed it Pallet Town now.
That's so
which
cool.
is the starting place so of much. The original.
If you don't know what Pallet Town is, just get off this podcast. Actually, don't. Please listen and subscribe.
Yeah, yeah. Way to chase away the few listeners we have.
I want to change my answer to Mr. Mime.
Oh.
I want a Mr. Mime.
But who's he gonna mime?
Everyone. He's just going to mock people.
You're just going to have Mr. Mime and Ditto, and I don't know. Somehow they're going to screw up.
Oh, then they're just going to be miming each other.
Are there any Pokemon that can hold up a mirror? I'll have that, and then I don't know. They'll all just explode.
I think there is, like, a mirror Pokemon.
Is it called Miramon?
Probably.
Which, by the way, man, translation for this game must be so tough because they do so many, I get, I don't know if it's puns. What do you say? Just like a one word. But yeah, everything relates to
what they look like.
And also, sorry, I know we keep going, but I'm amazed that I haven't played Pokemon in years, possibly a decade. And
ever since the incident that I caused
no,
you to
no.
quit.
Well, okay, that's a lie. You're right. You're right. I did play that. But the main game I played was Pokemon Red. And honestly, I can see the outline of these Pokemon from the game and I know what they are.
There was like, one. Yeah, there was one on Reddit today. Do you remember in the show before the commercial break, they used to show the silhouette and you had to guess who it was?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There was one, those jackasses over there. It was just a circle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you're like, oh, it's like a Voltorb or whatever circle one. And then it's like, nope, Jigglypuff seen from above.
Even though Jigglypuff has arms. So I don't know.
No, they're just assholes.
That's so awesome.
Did you already make your point?
Yeah, that was my point. No, my point was about Michelle Obama and the fact that... So it was a joke about Michelle Obama, but my point was just saying, and not to go too capitalist on you guys.
Sean, the Secret Service is here.
But this idea that in a weird way that a private company that has something like this and an IP that people are interested in can... Like, in a weird way, this is almost like a public health program.
Yeah.
It's almost in a like a smaller way, a historical program, in that people are kind of they go into landmarks and they can actually learn. And and I will definitely say I've explored more of the place I live than I ever did. Like, you just walk around and these things happen, and it's so silly. It's just
how long.
Well, the other game, other app that Niantic is well known for is Field Trip.
Yes, which I liked. Although I didn't use it as much as I would have liked, but it was cool.
How long after the release in Asia will someone die from walking like 72 straight hours and then just keel
They'll
over?
Do an ultra marathon.
Yeah, it's going to happen. Gosh, it's going to happen.
I don't know.
But anyway, if you haven't downloaded it, which I'm sure if you listen to this, you've probably already played the game.
Have.
You need to try it. It's amazing. Thank you so much for listening. You can subscribe to us on the iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Store. You can find us on YouTube by searching for The Commentist. Please share us, leave us some comments, submit questions and topics to us directly by going to the unwind.audio. Also, be sure to check out thecommentist.com, which is our network, where you can see all of our other great shows like Roll the Hit, Bearded Vegans,
Sky on Fire,
Kiss the Crest,
The Unwind,
and other good shows, and we'll see you next week.
I wanna be the very best that no one ever was. Bow, 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 bow.
That's it. That's all we got.
That's all I got.
Pika!